Let me ask you about idea sex. Talk to me about what that means, because you say this is part of what's going to save us in the future and has worked for us in the past is idea sex.
Well, this is my slightly facetious take on what makes the world work. And you have to ask yourself, where does innovation come from? What causes people to come up with new ideas? And the answer is that they combine old ideas, usually. In other words, you bring together technologies and thoughts, and you put them together in new ways. And that way you're able to come up with new combinations of technologies, and it's very much a cumulative process. A bicycle needs both steel and rubber and all these kind of inventions. And if you look at the same process in biology, sexual reproduction plays a huge part, because it means you can draw on mutations anywhere in a species and bring them together on the same team. Whereas if the species is not having sexual reproduction, then the mutations stay in separate lineages and compete against each other, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And so the role of exchange, of swapping ideas, plays the same role in our cultural explosion as the role of sex has been in biological evolution. That's my argument. And so it's a little facetious to call it sex between ideas, but I kind of really mean that. We even talk about it. We talk about the cross-fertilization of ideas, when we're thinking of people influencing each other and coming up with combinations. And my point is really that we trundled along as a highly intelligent, imaginative species without doing this trick for a long time. And once we did it, it exploded. It sort of caused an enormous change, particularly in the last 45,000 years, from just an ordinary ape trundling around the savannah doing nothing very special to this extraordinary world-dominating position we're in today. So the secret of human history, if you like, in one sentence, is that ideas have sex. That's the way I put it.
No,
it's a provocative idea.
I think they have sex like fish have sex. You know, it's sort of, right? I mean, one fish lays down a bunch of eggs and another fish comes by and sprays a bunch of ideas on them, you know? I mean,
that's a very good point. Yeah, yes, I'm not really talking about, human sex is kind of different in a way.
Yeah. Right. And so it ends up being that it's sort of like idea sex is like fish sex, means then that it also gets carried into the current. And you never know where those ideas are going to go. The fertilized ideas are going to get carried off and, you know, maybe some of them get gobbled up by, predators. But the surviving ideas that get out there, they stand a very interesting chance of developing into even many more ideas.
That's a wonderful way of putting it. And if you think about it, you and I are sitting here, the beneficiaries of technologies that come from all over the world. I mean, you know, the numbers we use come from India. The alphabet comes from the ancient Phoenicians. The computer chips we're using come from Silicon Valley. The telephone was invented in New York State or whatever it was. I can't remember the details, but where the benefits of globalization are available to all of us. And that, of course, in the old days, it took a while. You know, the invention of paper or printing or gunpowder or whatever, the magnetic compass, you know, these come from China and they reach Europe after several hundred years. Now, if the Chinese invent a new software package or a new trick that enables us to improve search engines, we're going to find out about it within probably days or months or years. And Google's going to be acquiring the Chinese company or something and bringing the idea to all of us. And that's the sort of thing that's happening so much faster, thanks particularly to the Internet, but even before that, thanks to globalization and the amount of trade going on. That's why I think the rate of innovation can only be speeding up. I don't believe it can be slowing down. Now, I should make one point, which intrigues me, which is that the rate of improvement in technologies isn't uniform. Some technologies change much faster than others. And if you think about transport for a moment, our ancestors who lived in the 19th century saw much bigger improvements in the speed at which they could travel than we have seen. You know, they went from being limited by the speed of a horse to going at 80, 90 miles an hour in a train or pretty fast in a steamship. within their lifetimes. We haven't really seen those kind of changes in speed. On the other hand, we've seen extraordinary changes in the speed and cheapness of communication.
Right.
That's been the one that's been revolutionized in our lifetime.
But in a way, that was... Yeah, I think those two are tied together, though, because so much of the need for that other speed was also built around communicating the mail, right? And communicating important data that there was no other way to transfer except using those methods.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, one of the great benefits of the railway was that it was a communications technology. I think you're right. And then, of course, the telegraph comes along and so on. But, you know, it's possible that our grandchildren will not see much change in the speed of communication, but they will see a big change in, I don't know, biotechnology or something, you know. So,
right. So
some technology is going to advance faster than others. Nonetheless, the rate of innovation, and a lot of innovation is very mundane and even low tech, you know. The biggest impacts, I reckon, on the 20th century may well not be computers, but container shipping or something like that. You know, these are Walmart's cross-decking, so it can make food cheaper in stores. You know, these are kind of things that we don't think of as high tech, but they are innovations, and those are going to be happening at a greater rate than ever.